We're in Mark chapter 2. If my next slide says Mark chapter 12, disregard that. In fact, I'm looking at my notes. It says Mark chapter 12 on this too. How about that? Man, I'd be dangerous if I had any idea what I was doing at all. I'm looking forward to tonight, Lord willing, unless the Lord changes my heart, we're going to preach out of one verse. One verse, and I think, unless it just breaks loose, which praise the Lord if it does, I think it's going to be a fairly short sermon. I know you don't believe me, but I think it's going to be fairly short because it's really direct and to the point. I'm looking forward to preaching it. I think it's going to be helpful. It certainly has been to me in preparing it. More than that, I've got some friends that are coming through. Brother Philip Rabin, who is the youth pastor down at Beacon Baptist in Raleigh, called me and he said, listen, I got a group of teens, and their teen group is pretty large. Got a group of teens, we're coming through on our way to a youth conference. Can we stop in for your Sunday night service? Of course you can stop in for it. Can you? Absolutely. And these people tend to amen, so I might get preachy in here tonight. And so you're going to want to be here for that. Amen. But I'm looking forward to them being, it's always nice to have them come through. Jesus, the passage we read earlier, Jesus has sought solitude. He's been through a grueling time of ministry. He just healed a leper. And he told the leper, keep it to yourself. And the leper did not. He went and told everybody. And so Jesus was so thronged with people that he physically couldn't get anything done. And so he took a break. He went off. We don't know exactly where. We don't know exactly how long. But he went off. He finally came back to Capernaum. And though the Bible doesn't expressly say it, we have reason to believe that Jesus based his ministry in Capernaum out of Peter's home. He was there a lot. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility that this house that he goes to was Peter's house. I can't say that for sure, but you know, I'm about 90% sure it probably was. That's just from my own thinking. And when he gets there, word passes, Jesus is here, and here they come again, just throngs and throngs of people surrounding this house. Jesus is in there and he's teaching and the people have crowded the house and they've come up against the windows and they've come up against the door and it is just, they're everywhere. Down the road comes these four fellas and each of them has a corner of a cot and laying on that cot is a man who's called palsied. It likely means he's paralyzed. We don't know if he's fully paralyzed, partially paralyzed, but he's paralyzed enough he can't get around on his own. And they're bringing him to Jesus. They get there and they see that they cannot get anywhere near Christ. So they come up with a plan. Now let me give you a quick synopsis of how a lot of the houses, particularly Peter's, probably was. Usually they were all one story. Every once in a while, you know, the real rich folk would have two stories. But usually they were one story. And up the side, they had a ladder or they had a staircase that would go up the side of it up to the roof. And the roof was flat. And under Jewish law, you had to have a certain height wall that went around the top because under Jewish law, you were responsible if your guest rolled off your roof. By the way, if you see a house today that has a little fence around its roof, probably they're an Orthodox Jew because they take that literally. Anyway, what you would do is you would go up and you would sleep on that roof at night because it was cooler. You're under the stars. If at all possible, you'd go up on the roof and sleep. The roof was a mixture of thatch and clay and things like that, certain types of tile. And so these fellas said, we can't get in through the door. We can't get in through the window. So they go up there to the top and they bust a hole in the roof. Now, if this was indeed Peter's home, I would think Peter had something to say about that. Peter is not shy to express his feelings about things. What would you think if you saw somebody busting a hole in your roof? Hey, knock it off! Well, anyway, they got the hole busted. And they lowered this man down through that hole to Christ. There's a lot to draw from this true historical account. We could say something about the four men. We could say something about the crowd. We could say plenty about Jesus. But my attention is really focused on that man on the cot. Palsied is a very broad term. There was a lot of different afflictions that were under that term. But here's what I know about him. He's a man that needed healing. Now, I'm looking over a crowd that for the summertime and how many people are out of town, this is a great crowd, and I'm thankful for that. But in a crowd this size, there's a whole lot of people in here, maybe all of us to some degree. We need healing. Could be a physical ailment you need healing from. It could be something mental. It could be something spiritual. It could be something emotional. It could be something that was inflicted upon you. It could be something you inflicted upon yourself. We all got something going on. See, this is where we get into trouble. We get into trouble where we build up this wall around us and present ourselves as these marble icons of Christianity. And we want people to think that we've never had any problems at all. Man, every man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We live in a sin-cursed world, and every one of us in here has got something that puts us in need of healing. Every one of us. I read an article this week, and the main thrust of the article is that the best leaders are those that are broken themselves. I agree with some points of that. I agree with the overall assertion. I think leaders are still called upon to be a little further along than most in some things. But the fact is, I do think that a broken leader, if that's true, then I'm the best leader ever because I'm mighty broken, y'all. There's a lot wrong with me. What's wrong with you, preacher? Watch me. You'll see. I got all kinds of issues. But I take heart because I watch you too. You got all kinds of issues too. We fit nicely together, don't we? I've heard it said before, we're all blind beggars. I just happen to trip across the bread. It's really what it comes down to. And like this palsied man, we're paralyzed, maybe with fear, maybe with guilt, maybe with shame, maybe some combination of it. I just want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on this subject regarding healing. Regarding healing. Father, would you help us? I need your touch. I fail you all the time. As best I know, I'm still qualified to do what I do, but only by your grace. Lord, sometimes I look at my own life, I look inward, and I just see problems. I see mountains and obstacles. And I forget that I serve Jehovah, the God who heals. There's folks in here that are battling physical problems. You're the God who heals. There's folks that are battling emotional things. You're the God who heals. And you are certainly the God to look to for our spiritual problems. So whatever healing your people need this morning, I pray you'd give it. And in doing so, may Christ be lifted up. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Regarding healing, I want you to come alongside this palsied man. I want you to put yourself and identify with him. And I want to give you some principles regarding healing. I've been really principle-oriented here lately. I think it's served me well anyway. Principle number one, you ready? The Word of God is the primary source. Look at verse number one. Mark 2, verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he healed them. Is that what your Bible says? And he fed them. It's not what mine says. It says he preached the word unto them. Now, if you look at Luke's account in Luke 5, verse 17, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It was present. And anywhere Jesus was, it was always present to heal them. But that was not what Jesus thought was the number one need of that crowd. The number one need of that crowd was not to be healed, was not to be fed, was not to be entertained. The number one need of that crowd that day was that the Word of God went forth. Our normal Sunday school room is in a current state of being painted and worked on. And so we had the teen class in my office today. And I just kind of took a very minimalist approach to our lesson today. And the basic thrust of it was this. Everything centers around the Word of God. If this building were to burn down this afternoon, if we were to lose everything, as long as we've still got the book, we've still got a church. Because our primary source for healing or anything else that we need has always been the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God is still preeminent. And you may be here today and you may need healing, and I've got news for you. And this may come across a little rough, and I hope it doesn't, unless it needs to. If you're not interested in God's Word, you're not going to get healing. You're not. I have sat down in 13 years of pastoring and more years than that in ministry. I have sat down to counsel people and they have said, oh, I need healing. I need help. And I give them the Word of God and they don't want to hear it. And if you're not willing to hear the Word of God, there is nothing I can do to help you. Because my advice and my opinion and my experience really doesn't go very far. The primary source for your healing or my healing or anybody's healing must always be the Word of God. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. What are they preaching? They're preaching the Word. The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So then faith, Romans chapter 10, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And we've got all kinds of churches. I'm not against having great choirs and great music programs and great facilities. I'm not against any of that, but somewhere along the line we got away from just preaching the Word of God. And without the Word, there'll be no healing. There'll be no healing. The Word of God is the primary source. You need healing today? It starts with the Word of God. If you're not willing to listen to the Word of God, you'll not be healed. You won't. Number two. The Word of God is the primary source. Number two, you need the help of others. Period. Verse number three. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born before. And when it comes to your healing, there's some of you maybe even in this room today, you would balk at this idea because you've got an independent streak. I don't need anybody's help. I'm independent. I pull myself up from my own bootstraps. I don't even know what that means. I pull myself up from my own bootstraps. I don't think that's physically possible. Well, I don't need any help. I can make it on my own. I got news for you. No, you can't. You can't. So there's some people, they balk at the idea because of that independent. By the way, that's just pride. That's all that is. And pride goeth for destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. But then there's people on the other end of the spectrum. Not only do you accept it, you embrace it fully, but you want to embrace it on your terms. Oh, I absolutely need other people. And here's how I need you. Yeah, I need others, but here's how I want you to work in my life. I want you to give me emotional support. And I want you to encourage me, and I want you to validate me, and I want you to be my companion through everything that happens in my life. I want you there for everything. That's what I want you to do. And by the way, there is a need for these things. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But what's interesting to me is these folks tend to balk at the idea of the other things that come with that. Oh, yes, we're all about the emotional support and the encouragement and the validation and the companionship, but are we prepared to expect what we would think are the negative aspects of the help of others? How about when somebody gives you counsel? How about when somebody lovingly rebukes you? How about when somebody is used of God to correct you? How about when somebody is used of God for your accountability? How about when God uses somebody to motivate you? Can I just be crass when somebody is used of God to kick you in the pants and tell you to get up and do something? You see, we're all about the encouragement. We're all about the validation. But when somebody dares says, now listen, I want to tell you something. I love you, but I think you're wrong here. Are you listening? Because you need that as much as you need the validation. You need that as much as you need the encouragement. I usually need more of the negative than I do the positive. The story is told of Spurgeon. Spurgeon would come home sometimes so dejected from his ministry that he would lock himself in his room for days. One day his wife comes to the door and insists that he opens it, and she is dressed all in black. He looks at her and says, who died? She says, apparently God did. What? Well, the way you're acting, apparently God's dead. Can I tell you, if my wife did that to me, I'd be a little bit mad. But she'd be right. And there's been times she's not here. She's home with my kid who's teething 5 teeth at one time. You pray for her. But none of us got any sleep last night. It was a joy. But there's been times that I've been in the mully grubs and my wife has come along and motivated me. I need that too. So do you. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let me ask you something, and I have to ask myself this too. When it comes to the help of others, are you looking for counsel, or are you just looking for somebody to agree with what you already believe? I've done a little bit of counseling. I'm not saying I know anything, but I've done a little bit of counseling. And you know what I found? In a lot of instances, when people come to me, all they want me to do is agree with them and tell whoever they're going against that they're wrong. And then when I say, well, biblically, actually, you're wrong. What? That pastor's not loving. That pastor's not encouraging. That pastor's not validating my experience. He's not holding up my truth. By the way, there's no such thing as your truth and my truth. There's truth. Amen. If I can't get an amen out of a Baptist church, if there's such a thing as objective truth, y'all, then we're in trouble. It's either true or it's false. No wonder the liberals are winning in this country. My goodness. Now I'm getting preachy. Y'all made me mad now. No, you haven't. I'm just kidding. You know, we love to go to this verse in Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And we treat that like that's such a lovely, sweet verse. Can I remind you that sharpening a blade, it's not a pleasant thing. There is grinding and there is resistance and there is shards and everything. It's not fun. Word of God's the primary source if you need healing. If you're going to have healing, you need the help of others, but not on your terms, on God's terms. Number three. Your healing may involve some unpleasantries. We have this idea that when we get healing, it's just this light comes over us and this warmth and, oh, that's not usually how I've experienced healing. You ever been healing from something and it's painful? Any of you that have had physical therapy, have you enjoyed it? I've been told by more than one of you, if you can go without having shoulder surgery, do it. Because it is rough. And if you can get through the surgery, the physical therapy will make you doubt everything you believe. And it is rough. And when you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I am hurting bad, and then he smiles at you and says, well, that just means you're healing. Ow! Because sometimes healing hurts. I want you to think about this, man. Verse number 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they'd broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. There's no evidence this man spoke. I don't know that he couldn't speak or that he wouldn't speak, but I'm sure he could think. And if I'm that dude, here's what I'm thinking. Fellas, what are you doing? Why are we going up on the roof? Fellas, why are you breaking a hole? Wait a second. Hold on now. We can come back later. Hey, that's what I'd have been thinking. Because there's all kinds of things that can happen. The healing you may need may be like this fella. There may be the possibility of pain. Now, I realize he was paralyzed, but I don't know how much he was paralyzed, and I'm sure that he did experience discomfort in some way, shape, or form. Could it be that maybe positioning the cot to get him down in that hole was painful? Maybe he got some of the stuff that they broke loose in his face. Maybe it was painful. Maybe it was uncomfortable. Can I tell you something? Sometimes your healing is going to be painful. How about fear? Do you think there's something in him that's thinking, oh, this is great. We've come all this way to get healed, and they're going to drop me through this hole and kill me. I hope he can raise the dead, because that's what's going to happen. How about fear? How about this? You suppose your healing could involve embarrassment? If I'm that guy, I'm probably not that excited about the idea of being lowered down in front of everyone. And can I tell you something? When God brings your healing into your life, sometimes it happens in front of other people. And you might find it embarrassing. You shouldn't, but you might find it embarrassing. There have been times that God has brought healing into my life, and in doing so, he broke my heart, and I just broke down and wept in front of anybody that was around. I can't say that I was excited to do that. It was a little bit embarrassing, but it's what I needed. How about uncertainty? If I'm this fellow, you know what I'm thinking? What if they go through all this and he won't heal me? What if we go through all this and somebody says, wait a second. You can't just cut in line in front of everybody. Who do you think you are? You get back out there, and if the master has time for you later, he'll deal with you. What if Jesus flat out rejected him altogether? Can I tell you something? There have been times in my life that I've needed healing, and as I approach that healing, I've had uncertainty. I didn't know if Jesus would do anything, and I didn't know if I had the right to ask him to do anything. You ever been there? Here's the last one. Your healing may involve pain, it may involve fear, it may involve embarrassment, it may involve uncertainty, it may involve conviction. It could be this man had heard about Jesus, and it could be this man had heard that Jesus could read people's thoughts. Jesus knew what was in people's hearts, and maybe he's thinking, man, they put me in front of Jesus, Jesus is going to know who I really am. He's going to see me as I am. Can I tell you, your healing will involve that. Oh, Andy, I need healing today. Well, your healing is going to start with the Word of God. That's the primary source. You're going to need the help of others. Healing is going to involve some unpleasantries. But number four, your healing is always a matter of grace. When you get your healing, you need to understand this. You didn't do anything to earn it. Amen. You didn't do anything to work it off. Mm-mm. It is all a matter of grace. Let me ask you something. What did this paralytic do to get to Jesus? The answer is nothing. He did nothing. He just laid there. Look at verse number 5. Look at what it says. When Jesus saw their faith, not his, theirs. When Jesus saw their faith, he said. Of the 5 men before Jesus that day, one of them didn't think this would work. The man on the cot, I don't think he thought it would work, because he doesn't say he saw his faith, saw their faith. Well, that could have included him too. Technically could have, but I don't think it did. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Jesus healed him based on the faith of those that brought him to Jesus. If you would have healing, oh, get this now. If you're going to get the healing that you need, you better surround yourself with people who believe in the value of getting close to Jesus. And some of you, you don't have the healing that you need because when you leave here, you don't surround yourself with anybody that loves God, with anybody that wants to do right, with anybody that wants to get close to Christ. You just go and do your own thing. Let me tell you something. If you're going to have the healing that you need to have, you better surround yourself with people that believe in getting close to Jesus. Aren't you? I bet this man was glad that he was surrounded by people that wanted to get close to Jesus. He didn't do it. How often have we benefited from the intercession of others when we ourselves maybe didn't believe? I had a period of time where I was away from the Lord. I've never been specific about that, nor do I intend to be. God forbid we glorify sin. But I tell you who I had in my life that I knew hadn't give up. That was my mama. That old song the Kingsmen used to sing, "When Mama prays, heaven pays attention." And I knew my mama was praying. Let me tell you what's scariest about it. My mom would pray things like, "Lord, you do whatever you got to do to him. Mom, stop. Break him if you have to." You mean spiritually and emotionally, right, Mom? I mean physically. Break him physically if you need to. You just get him where he needs to be. By the way, in light of eternity, that's not a bad prayer. Can I tell you something? There's God's things God did in my life hadn't have anything to do with me believing. Had everything to do with my mama believing. I don't know, about 6 months ago now, I guess, or something like that. I confirmed what all of y'all already knew. I confirmed that I'm insane when I told you I believe God wants us to build a family life center. I'm not naive enough to think that everybody's been praying about that like they should. In fact, some of us probably are thinking, that's silly. $1.5 million? Right. But one day, if Jesus doesn't come back first, one day when you walk into that family life center, you may not have believed, but some people did. And you'll benefit from other people's faith. Happens all the time. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation, but the healing you need may come because of somebody else's faith and not yours. And that's why it's always a matter of grace. You may not have perfect faith, but imperfect faith surrounded by those who are praying will get the job done. Can I remind you of the fellow in Mark chapter 9 that brought his son to Jesus? Asked Jesus to heal his son who was being thrown in the fire, and the demons that had possessed him were throwing him in the fire and trying to drown him and everything else. He said, "Lord, if you can do anything." Well, that sounds full of faith, doesn't it? If you can do anything. He said, "If you believe, all things are possible to them that believe." You know what he said? "I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Jesus healed that boy. Amen. You may not have perfect faith, y'all, but what little you have, you put it in the right object, it'll get it done. Because healing's a matter of grace. None of us earn it. None of us earn it. Just talking about healing. I look at this man and it teaches me 5 things. The Word of God is the primary source for my healing. You're going to need the help of others to be healed. Healing may involve unpleasantries. Healing is always a matter of grace. And then finally, all healing works from the inside out. When God heals you, He doesn't heal you from the outside in. He heals you from the inside out. So here's this man. It's very obvious the problem that he has. He is a palsied man, a paralytic. He can't move. He can't get up. It's very obvious what his situation is. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Is that what your Bible says? No, he started on the inside first. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He started on the inside. Now, let me say this quickly. It was the faith of the 4 that got him healed, but it was his own faith that got him forgiven. He got there and Jesus read his heart and saw that his faith had kicked in because of these four. And by the way, never underestimate the power your faith can have on somebody else. And Jesus forgave him of his sin. Then what happened? Then verse 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. He met his physical needs. He started on the inside. I've told you before, I'm a King James guy. I'm not mean about it. I don't go to war with people over it. I don't practice what's called double inspiration. I don't think that God inspired his word once when he wrote it and then another time in 1611. But I'm a King James guy, and I'll tell you why. I trust the text. The text is, I believe, the right text. But I trust the translators. I think those King James translators, they were godly men, and they were smart men. And they made the most use of the English language. The English language, I think, was at its peak in that time. By the way, the English language has gotten worse over the years, hasn't it? I'm still trying to figure out what a bay is. Hey, bay. What? That's somebody who's too lazy to say baby. Bay. The English language has really struggled here lately. And then you get into texting. I can't even read text anymore. All the acronyms and everything. BRB. Well, we're a lazy bunch, aren't we? I heard one guy make this point, and I thought it was good. Rather than saying World Wide Web, we started saying www dot whatever. You realize it takes more syllables to say www than it says World Wide Web. That was free. Take that for what you want. But anyway. But one of the great things about 1611 English, and I understand it's changed over the years, and sometimes I need to explain to you what something means today. Like, I don't know if anybody in here knows what a wimple pen is. Not sure I do either. But there was a word, throughly. Well, it's the same thing as thoroughly. No, it's not. Throughly is different from thoroughly. It's spelled differently. If it was the same, it'd be spelled the same. It's kind of like example and ensample. There is a slight difference there. Thoroughly and throughly are two different words. They come from the same Greek word, but these translators, they understood what was being said in the text, and so they chose the word accordingly. Here's the difference. Thoroughly is from the outside in. Throughly is from the inside out. If I jumped in that baptistry and there was water in it, which I don't think there is at the moment, if I were to jump in there and there's water in it, I would get thoroughly wet from the outside in. But when God works on a man, he doesn't work from the outside in. He works on the inside out. Do you remember when David prayed in Psalm 51 after Nathan came to him, said, thou art the man, and he repented of his sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Watch this. Wash me throughly from my iniquity. You know what he understood? God, I need you to start at the very heart of me and work out. Because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And can I tell you something, friend? Whatever healing you need today, I can tell you where it starts. It starts in your heart. And it works its way out. This man, when he came to Christ, I don't know if he even knew it, but Jesus knew far more than being healed of your paralysis. You need me. So he forgave him. He entered into a covenant relationship with this man. And then, arise. And maybe you've been looking for healing for some situation, some external thing that's going on in your life, and you've been absolutely unwilling to consider that maybe it starts inside you. An unwillingness to deal with the spiritual will deprive you of what you need in the physical, emotional, or mental. So here's the so what. Go ahead and pack up, zip up, button up, put stuff away, get your gum out, whatever you need. I've learned over the years that these noises are going to happen, whether I ask them to or not. See, it doesn't sound like much to you, but up here I just hear this cacophony of zoop. And if you don't get anything else I say, this is what you need to get. Okay. Everybody done? So help me, you zip. No. Here's the point. I think everybody in here needs some healing from something. Something. I don't know what it is, but we're all made of the same stuff. Everybody in here needs it. And if you leave here without it, it won't be God's fault. It'll be yours. See, it doesn't matter how well I preach this message. I try to preach it well, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great the song service is or how much you feel in your heart. None of that matters. Was the Word of God preached faithfully and in truth? And if it is, then it's up to us to take it and to apply it and let the Holy Ghost use it in our lives. That's our responsibility. So here's what you've got to take. Everybody in here needs healing. Now, it could be somebody in here needs the ultimate healing. You need to be saved. I'm not interested in you becoming a Baptist. I'm not interested in you getting in the baptismal tank. I'm not interested in you filling out cards or putting money in the offering plate. All that stuff we talk about later. I'm talking about you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And in a crowd this size, I have to imagine there's at least one person that if you were to die today, you would not go to heaven. You need the ultimate healing of becoming a child of Jesus Christ. You need that. You're saved, maybe. And you're hurting emotionally. You're hurting spiritually. You're hurting physically. You're hurting mentally. I don't know what it is. And can I tell you frankly, I can't help you. But it starts with the Word of God. That's your primary source. And then you need the help of others on God's terms, not yours. And then as you begin to heal, it may involve unpleasantries and it may hurt. But something's happening. And along the way, you have to remember that this healing is a matter of grace. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. God's giving it to you because He loves you. And then you thank Him as He works from the inside and cleans up what needs to be cleaned up in here. And then it follows, finds its way outside. We all need healing. So how about we get it? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, if you would come.